And then there is part two. And Representative Morgan, is your committee going to meet tomorrow?
You're referring to the natural resources?
Yes.
We had not planned on it, but we are on a very tight schedule, and we will need to get finished with the bills that we have on our agenda.
Okay. At this time, we'll announce that the Natural Resources Subcommittee will be meeting tomorrow, and that the members of the Natural Resource Subcommittee can attend without interruption or subject to calls. There is no other meetings that I'm aware of. Representative Winters, is your committee going to be meeting tomorrow?
Not tonight.
Okay, the only committee that will be meeting at all tomorrow is the Natural Resources, and all the other committees will not be meeting. The special committee is subject to the call of the chair, and if the bills are up, they're on a 1-hour notice, so we can move the process. So if I have to be here, you have to be here. Mr. Stinson?
I think for clarification, if I understand correctly, the Natural Resource Committee is going to try to meet concurrently with this meeting today as their availability, and then maybe on after the conclusion of this meeting, and only tomorrow if completion of their agenda requires it. Is that correct, or do you absolutely...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The question is with regard to your plans for meeting tomorrow, and that would be only if you don't complete your agenda concurrently with this meeting today or after this meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
Okay. Senator Hartung?
No.
Is your committee going to be meeting?
As far as I know, not.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So everybody has notice on all the committee meetings. Representative Morgan, why don't we move to Saturday agenda part two so you can do Senate Bill 5504, Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5504 is the budget bill for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. The Department of Agriculture ensures food safety, protects agricultural and natural resources, and promotes economic development in the agricultural industry. Roughly 59% of the department's budget is funded with other funds. Close to one-third of the budget comes from the general fund. The remainder of the budget comes from federal funds, comprising 5% of the budget, and lottery funds, which contribute 5% also. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends a budget of $71,882,599.431 FTE. The budget contains $22 million of general fund, $42 million of other funds, $3.7 million of federal funds, and $3.8 million in lottery funds. In total, the budget is 5% below the governor's recommended budget. The subcommittee recommended budget adjustments for lower PERS rates, lower hourly rates for attorney general charges, and lower rates for the Department of Administrative Services Human Resources Assessment. In addition, reductions were made to out-of-state travel, and a 3% reduction was made to agency services and supplies. Program reductions were made throughout the department with the elimination of several support positions. Program packages were also cut back or eliminated. The subcommittee rebalanced the budget to more accurately reflect the expected federal funds and position authority needed. In summary, the subcommittee's reduction efforts trimmed the governor's budget by roughly $3.8 million in total. Program packages were approved for lab testing expansion, food safety inspection, and the wine advisory board. Packages were included to fund the initial development of the pesticide use reporting system. Additional funding was approved as a special purpose appropriation in the emergency fund for the remainder of system development after progress has been demonstrated to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends approval of House Bill 5504 as amended.
Is there a discussion? Senator Brown.
Thanks. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to make a comment for the record. I am going to support this budget, but I'm concerned about the pesticide reporting issue. And my key concern is that the retail sales component was not funded. It's about $150,000. The reason why I'm concerned is because it's a key element of the urban pesticide tracking, and I think it will put this process, this particular funding level, will put an unfair burden on the agricultural community. So that's just a concern I have. I'm still going to support the budget. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan?
If I might address the point that the good senator has raised, the issue received a great deal of discussion in the subcommittee. The Department of Ag has worked during the interim with the Oregon State University to devise a survey that's comprised of mailings and telephone follow-up directly to homeowners to assess the level of use of these chemicals in the home. We have given the go-ahead for that portion of the program to be implemented, but it is one of the areas that we're going to be very watchful of in terms of the volume of data that we get back.
Thank you. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to commend the good representative, Morgan, for her work on this. Having sat and met with representatives from the governor's office, and they indicated to me that this was the most important issue for the governor, and that he was convinced and committed to funding it, but had it not been for the work of Representative Morgan, it wouldn't be there, because after that initial meeting, never saw hide nor hair of anyone from the governor's office again, and only just heard people moaning and bemoaning to the press about how come it wasn't funded, when it was the intention the entire time to always fund it, but to make sure that the program, when developed, worked, and worked in a coherent and cost-effective manner. But I'd just like to congratulate her on making sure that the program was funded, even at not having the assistance and the commitment from the governor's office as it was promised.
Representative Morgan.
I would like to also have it on the record that without the help of Representative Hill's e-government committee, we wouldn't have been able to pull apart the whole issue of how to rebuild the system in a reasonable kind of a way. And I can't say enough good things about Representative Hill and the committee support staff about the efforts that they put into revising the proposal and building it into the budget in such a way that I think that we have an outstanding chance here to build a cost-effective system that will fill the needs of the statute.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I would like to thank the chair of the committee for her courtesy extended to me when I raised questions about the pesticide reporting program and the impact it would have on agriculture. She provided me with a very comprehensive explanation. She also was quite generous in sharing information about predator control, which is very worrisome in my district, and has given me assurances that they're very concerned at the committee level and worked hard to try to fund that program adequately.
Further discussion? If not, the motion is to move Senate Bill 5504 as amended out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection? If not, it's so approved. We'll move back to Agenda 1, Part 1, Senate Bill 14, Senator Brown.
Thanks, Mr. Coach. Just as soon as I get rid of this chocolate that's now in my mouth. 1997 Oregon legislature created the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission to advise the legislature regarding seismic hazards and to provide recommendations for action. Senate Bill 14B responds to those recommendations and directs the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries to work with the State Board of Higher Education and State Board of Education to conduct initial seismic safety surveys of certain education buildings. NOGAMI is also to evaluate surveys that have already been conducted and may direct more surveys be conducted based on higher safety standards. NOGAMI is responsible for providing the resources for the survey work. The Capital Construction Lottery and Bonding Subcommittee discussed funding options that might be pursued by NOGAMI. The subcommittee amended the bill to condition the survey activity on the department's receipt of gifts, grants, and donations made available for the purpose of building surveys and associated work of NOGAMI and the other state boards. The subcommittee added a $1 general fund appropriation and a $1 other fund expenditure limitation to serve as a placeholder for any future funding for the surveys. The subcommittee indicated that if gifts, grants, or donations were identified, the agency would come to the E-Board for any needed expenditure limitation increase. Gagamity already has the ability to seek federal grants. The subcommittee directed the agency to seek prior approval from the E-Board to apply for federal grants for this project. The general fund appropriation of $1 is to hold a place in the event a federal grant the agency wants to pursue has a state match requirement. Your subcommittee recommends your approval of Senate Bill 14B as amended. Thanks, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Is there questions or discussion? Is there objection to the motion to pass Senate Bill 14-B as amended out to the House with a do pass recommendation? If not, it's been so approved. Senate Bill 15, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is a companion bill. The Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Commission recommendations for planning the certainty of earthquakes in Oregon are also addressed in this bill. The Department of Geology and Mineral Industries will work with the Health Division to conduct and review seismic safety surveys of acute patient facilities, fire, police, sheriff, and other law enforcement facilities. As with the education structures identified in Senate Bill 14B, Gagami may direct that more surveys be conducted based on higher safety standards for these vital structures. As in the prior bill, the subcommittee provided a dollar other fund expenditure limitation to serve as a placeholder for any future funding for the surveys. The subcommittee acknowledged that if gift grants or donations were identified, the agency would come to the emergency board for any needed expenditure limitation. We also amended the bill to condition the survey activity on the department's receipt of gifts, grants, and donations made available for the purpose of surveys and associated work. Under current law, Dagami already has the ability to seek federal grants after receiving approval from the E-Board. The subcommittee reiterated this requirement and provided a general fund appropriation of $1 to hold in place in the event a federal grant the agency wants to pursue has a state match requirement. Your subcommittee recommends your approval of Senate Bill 15B as amended. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Is there questions or discussion? Is there objection to passing Senate Bill 15B as amended out to the House with a do-pass recommendation? Senate Bill 370, Senator Brown.
Holy smokes, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill comes to you from the Senate Judiciary and the Public Safety Subcommittee, where it received unanimous support. It repeals sunset provisions dealing with sex offender registration, limits posting of sex offender information on the Internet, allows juvenile sex offenders to petition the court for exemption from the registration requirements, establishes additional notification requirements, establishes a presumptive life sentence for an offender's third conviction of a sex offense, and provides the Oregon State Police with $446,731 general fund appropriation and approximately $174,000 other fund expenditure limitation it needs to continue the sex offender registration program. The Public Safety Subcommittee reviewed the fiscal impact of the bill and adopted amendments approved by the chair of the committee that referred the bill to Ways and Means. The amendments reduced the fiscal impact on court operations and indigent defense caused by petitions to exempt certain juveniles from sex offender registration. Your Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously recommends approval. Thanks, Mr. Co-Chair.
Is there questions or discussion? Is there objection to moving Senate Bill 370A as amended to the Senate with a do-pass recommendation? But it's ordered. Senate Bill 502, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Cochise. I would move Senate Bill 502 back to the subcommittee from which it came.
Senator Miller moves it back to Senate Bill 502, back to the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee. Is there objection? If not, it's been so ordered. That was 70 miles an hour, Senator Miller. Senate Bill 821, Senator Carno.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 821 authorizes the creation and sale of Crater Lake National Park registration plates. A $10 surcharge would be charged for new plates issued. Surcharge monies collected after deducting expenses for issuing the plate would be transferred to the National Park Foundation for use on Crater Lake National Park projects. The Department of Transportation estimates the startup cost of this new plate will be $132,864. Along with startup expenditures, ongoing costs will be deducted from the plate surcharge as plates are issued. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee approved an amendment to require that startup costs be loaned from the Department of Transportation Operating Fund established in House Bill 3882 be used instead of general fund. Your committee recommends approval. Thank you.
Is there discussion? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a no vote on this to signify my disgust at the agency in terms of how they nickel and dime us every time we want to do one of these things. The process in which they've created, in which they the startup charges on creating these plates, is one that could be avoided if they would just simply create in their computer system the ability to denote which plate needs a continuing registration fee, and then they could just change the background behind and maintain the same numbering system, which would mean in the future that every time we want to do one of these, it doesn't cost us $150,000 to do it, the cost would be a lot less. I just think they're trying to make it much more difficult than it needs to be.
Is there further questions or discussion? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just observe that in the committee there was a testimony that with these other special plates, apparently the enthusiasm is wearing off, because the feeling was, at least expressed in testimony, that people didn't want to pay additional, and this was the word they used, registration fees. So it's a good thing that bill passed last week, so there's no choice. Thank you.
Is there further questions or discussion? Is there objection other than Representative Hill? The moving Senate Bill 821A as amended out to the Senate with a do pass recommendation. Not, it's ordered. Senate Bill 973, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 973 requires the Legislative Fiscal Office to contract for a study on how to improve economic development in Oregon. The bill specifies the scope of the study and requires LFO to provide staff to support a 7-member task force that will include legislators and the director of the Division of Audit. The task force will evaluate the study and make recommendations to the 22nd Legislative Assembly. The bill appropriates $75,000 in general fund to the legislative fiscal officer for the cost of the study. Your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 973.
Is there questions or discussion? Is there objection to passing Senate Bill 973 as amended to the Senate, other than Representative Schrader? Is there other noes? If not, it's been so ordered. Senate House Bill 2256, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2256 increases annual food service facility licensing fees for food service facilities regulated by the Health Division. The Health Division has statutory authority to establish and enforce sanitation and operating standards for food services facilities in 12 rural Oregon counties. The Health Division delegates its licensing, inspection, and fee setting authority to local health departments in the remaining 24 counties. The fee increases in this bill are approximately half the increase proposed in the original bill, but are generally a 50% increase over current fees. The subcommittee felt that a nearly 100% increase at one time was excessive, thus the amended version of the bill. The budget for the Health Division was approved based on the fee increases in this bill. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2256 as amended.
Is there a question or discussion? If not, the motion is to move House Bill 2256 as amended out to the House with a do pass recommendation. Is there objection? That is so approved.
Let's record show Representative Schrader was an objection.
Representative Schrader will be recorded as voting no. House Bill 2294, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2294, as amended, conforms statutes to the reorganization plan of the Department of Human Services. Under the reorganization plan contained in the bill, all current divisions, offices, programs, and organizational units within the department are abolished. The duties and responsibilities that had been designated in law to division administrators, deputy administrators, and assistant administrators are transferred to the Department of Human Services, who is given authority to delegate authority and responsibility to persons hired by the director. The Department of Human Services began reorganization planning during the 99-2001 biennium. The governor's recommended budget identified about $4 million general fund savings from the reorganization that is now distributed across divisions based on reductions in specific services and supplies. Most of these savings are expected from efficiencies gained by consolidating field and administrative service operations without reducing frontline personnel who provide services. Up to $6 million additional general fund dollars may be saved in the coming biennium and will be reinvested in information technology systems and training for the reorganization, including expanded access for field staff to electronic data supporting major client programs now in separate divisions and training to promote change in the service delivery model from a single division or program focus to integrated services. The subcommittee adopted the A5 amendment that requires the Department of Human Services to report to each meeting of the emergency board during the 2001-03 interim on the progress of the reorganization efforts as well as resolving conflicts with other pending legislation. The amendment also requires the department to continue to submit a rebalanced plan for legislative approval. The Human Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2294 as amended.
Is there questions or discussion? Representative Johnson.
Regrettably, Mr. Co-Chair, I'm not going to be able to support this budget, and I do that acknowledging how much work the chair of the committee and her committee put in on it. I was an employee at ODOT starting in 1993, the same time that that agency undertook a massive reorganization. Just as it is in the case with this bill, divisions were abolished, and within 5 years, those divisions were being replaced. There is a sense about this reorganization bill that is occurring with great haste. I don't understand why it needs to move that quickly. This bill, both in what I'm hearing from frontline service deliverers at the local level as well as reading the bill, feels a great deal like the ODOT reorganization, which was not an outstanding success. And I just feel I can't support this bill at this time.
Okay, thank you. Is there further questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Thank you. I just need to say that I agree that this is something that should be done. We need an opportunity to look into these kinds of agencies, to take a look at a major cultural shift within the agencies. We're now moving into a new millennium. I look at this. I know that there's in Jackson County, they're working with a Metaframe, which allows them to see all of the clients' participation in these kinds of social programs. I think it gives us an opportunity to look at it from the aspect of e-government and relative to our Joint Legislative Information Management Technology so that we can start to take a look at prime numbers, names, and dates of birth so that we can get these people tracked and know how much they're costing through the system.
Is there further questions or discussion? Representative Winters, I'd like to thank you for working with the Department of Human Services in this effort. I know it's been a difficult issue for those that are personally being affected, and I want to thank you for your work. And I want to indicate to Mr. Mink and the Human Resources, we look forward to seeing him for the next 18 months. Senator Trell.
I would just like to join Representative Johnson in her remarks and indicate my no vote on
okay.
This.
Is there further questions or discussion? The record will reflect that Senator Trell, excuse me. did you come here with... I'm sorry.
You need to introduce yourself.
To yeah, you. We should get to know each other.
Senator Trell... Oh, excuse me.
I'd just like to make one comment, because for me it's like deja vu all over again, because I was here for the creation of the department, both as coordination as well as when it became in statute. And one of the visions that we had 30 years ago is what the department is attempting to address today. So I just needed to put that on record as someone who has watched the evolution, and hopefully we can get to where we want it to go, where the client becomes the focus. And that was the, that's the intent behind this. I just needed to
thank you. The record will reflect that Senator Trowe, Representative Johnson. Are there any other no votes? Not, the motion passes. House Bill 3075, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3075 requires the Department of Transportation to use up to $25 million of bond proceeds authorized by House Bill 2142 to match local resources for projects on state highways. The bill limits projects to a total of $5 million each and limits contributions to $5 million per county. Under the bill, the department is required to develop an application process and criteria to determine which projects are funded in the event the department receives applications for more than the $25 million limit. Passage of the bill does not require an expenditure limitation since the department plans to request expenditure limitation for the bonded projects from the emergency board. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 3075.
Thank you. Is there discussions or questions? If not, the motion is to move House Bill 3075 as amended out to the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there objection? If not, it's ordered. House Bill 3399, Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3399 requires the Department of Administrative Services to develop and implement policies to prevent the use of best value procurement and other procurement strategies for information technology. The bill requires that the department report on the implementation of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology by January 15, 2003. The original bill would have required the Department of Administrative Services to centrally procure all information technology for state agencies. The intent was to ensure that integration of technology acquisitions on a statewide basis. Your subcommittee felt that the approach would not ensure the desired outcome. We then adopted the -2 amendment to have the department develop and implement procurement policies to ensure the best possible technology acquisition solutions are achieved. This bill has a sunset date because of expected reforms to the procurement law that encompass these procurement strategies. Your subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 3399 as amended.
Is there questions or discussions? Is there objection to passing House Bill 3399? Senator Trowe?
I'll be on objection.
Senator Trowe will be recorded voting no. Is there any other no votes?
That's a good bill.
Not, the motion passes. Senate Bill 5510, Representative Patridge.
Thank you again, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5510 is the budget bill for the Economic and Community Development Department. The agency administers programs that aid businesses and communities, includes the Arts Commission, the Film and Video Office, and the Tourism Commission. House Bill 3358 transferred the progress bar to the Department of Administrative Services. The agency is supported by a variety of funds. The Arts Commission receives general fund, lottery, general fund. Lottery fund supports economic and community development programs, the Film and Video Office, and the Tourism Commission. Federal funds support a variety of programs, including the Community Development Block Grant. Other funds include revolving loan fund repayments and interest earnings on these funds. Non-limited funds include bond proceeds. The subcommittee reduced the governor's lottery bond proposal from $196 million to $51 million, which will provide $45 million to support community infrastructure projects. The budget also includes $28.8 million for Columbia River projects. The budget provides a net of 10 additional FTE, including 4 limited duration staff, complete the telecommunications infrastructure projects from Senate Bill 622 in 1999, and additional staff to support infrastructure bond workload. The total budget is reduced 12.1% from the governor's budget and is an increase of 16.1% to the current service level, reflecting an increase in bonding capacity. Adjustments to the governor's budget include a reduction of 22.7% general fund as a result of the transfer of the progress board, an increase of 4.3% of lottery funds, and a reduction of 14.2% in other funds to reflect the reversal of the governor's fund shift proposal, and a reduction of 17.8% in non-limited authority, reflecting a reduction in the governor's proposed lottery bond increase. There are two budget notes. One directs the agency to provide assistance to communities in the event of disaster, and the other is standard language requiring the transfer of the website to the Department of Administrative Services. There is also discussion of the need to conduct an interim review of legislative direction to the agency, including legislative oversight and program effectiveness. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of a budget of 468 $1,048,041,175, all funds, and 149 FTE for the Economic and Community Development Department.
Is there questions or discussion? If not, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I need to get this on the record. I come from a rural county, counties where economic development infrastructure projects are just vital, but I will not support this budget today. I think that the agency needs to improve its administrative practices. We struggled with that at the committee level. I struggled to get information out of them, credible information about a recruitment that involved United States Gypsum in Columbia County. And lastly, I can't support the element of the Columbia River projects absent a completed environmental assessment. So I'll be a no.
Okay. Thank you. Is there further questions or discussion? If not, the motion is to move Senate Bill 5510 as amended out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Representative Johnson be recorded as voting no. Senator Yu be recorded as voting no. Senator Miller voting no. Are there any others? If not, the motion passes. Senate Bill 5525, Senator Hartog.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5525 is the capital construction budget for the Department of Higher Education. This bill authorized approximately $400 million in capital construction and improvement projects for the Oregon University System. The bill also provides funds to address critical deferred maintenance needs. Only $12.1 million of this total will be financed by the general fund. The rest will be financed from bonds, private donations, and other revenue sources. The recommended budget includes 44 specified projects on OUS campuses and four system-wide categories of capital expense. The debt service on most of these projects will be paid from housing or student building fees. The subcommittee, however, added five projects financed with state-paid bonds. These projects include the Northwest Engineering Science Center at Portland State University, additions to the University of Oregon School of Music building, a new facility for Oregon State University's College of Veterinary Medicine to accommodate an independent four-year Veterinary Medicine program, additions to the Southern Oregon University Library, and the construction of a new science facility at Eastern Oregon University. Finally, the bill establishes donation accounts for two other potential projects, a new engineering building for Oregon State and an expansion of the Native American Center at Portland State. These accounts would allow private funds to be matched with 11G bonds if the emergency board approves the projects in the interim. Last session, the legislature reduced the OUS capital construction budget. The system, though, is now facing record enrollment, and enrollment growth is expected to continue. Senate Bill 5525 will address many of OUS's most pressing capital needs and help preserve the state's investment in higher education. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5525 as amended.
Is there questions or discussion? Senator Trow.
Mr. Co-Chair, this is the best capital construction budget we've had in quite a long time, and I'm certainly supportive of it and will support it. I am concerned a bit about some projects at Western Oregon State University. Computer science program, and I noticed that in a budget note relating to adding $500,000 to the Southern University's program in computer science, there was a statement that the state system of higher ed would do what it could to make sure that other institutions also were treated well in that area. And Western Oregon State, which really doesn't have much of anything in this program, has one building out of 40-some that are being distributed in the other campuses, does have a computer science program, and I hope the state system will help that university with that program.
Thank you. Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I just have a question for the senator. I'm curious about the engineering program at Portland State. Was there a request, and is that...
Yes.
That's funded?
It's in the budget for a total of $34 million, okay. But it takes a big match to get it. I think it takes
but at least it's...
Yes. Yeah, that was the first one I mentioned.
Okay. I'm sorry, I missed that. And I was reading them down. And
is there further questions or discussion? Representative Schrader.
Just a question for LFO, probably. What is the total debt service for the Oregon University system?
Total debt service for the Oregon University system is currently about $21 million per biennium. These projects, if they are all approved, including the projects for which donation counts are being set aside, but which would eventually need approval by the emergency board, this would add approximately $15.8 million to biennial debt service. That is paid by the general fund.
And I would also like to say, in response to good Senator from Corvallis, he asked the question when this capital construction was in the higher ed about the engineering building at Oregon State, and that is going to be addressed in a House bill that is coming through the process, and we are going to be addressing the level one engineering program in higher education.
Thank you.
Is there further questions or discussion? Is there objection?
No.
Senator Yee will be recorded as voting no. The motion passes. The next bill is Senate Bill 5546, but before Senator Miller carries the bill, I would like to make a statement.
Well,
5526, excuse me. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5526 is the budget bill for the Housing and Community Services Department. This budget, the department assists in financing affordable housing and also administers federal and state programs to alleviate homelessness and hunger. The subcommittee recommends a budget of $172.6 million total funds for operations and $752.9 million non-limited funds. The operating budget includes $10.8 million general funds, $2.7 million lottery funds, $82.6 million other funds, and $76.6 million in federal funds. The budget was adjusted for reductions in PERS rate, the Attorney General rate, telecommunications, out-of-state travel, state government service charge rate. The budget did move $1.4 million of general funds from the Housing Trust Fund to the Homeless Assistance Program. The subcommittee reduced $3.4 million of general fund to the Housing Development and Guarantee Account and established a special purpose appropriation the emergency board with regard to these funds. Let me just say with regard to that special purpose appropriation the emergency fund establishes in this budget, this is intended to hold the Housing Community Services Department harmless if the funds do not become, if no funds become available through Senate Bill 1149 from the 1999 session regarding energy deregulation public purpose charge, then these funds cannot be used for anything other than housing until November 1st, 2002, and the emergency board has the authority to allocate all or a portion of those funds to the special purpose appropriation of the Housing Community Services Department prior to that date. Furthermore, if the public purpose funds become available, the amount in the special purpose appropriation would revert to the emergency fund on November 1st, 2002 to augment the emergency fund for potential emergency needs. The general fund, is being replaced by then the approximately $4.9 million, which will become available through the Senate Bill 1149. Other subcommittee action included $5 million federal funds for the Community Development Block Grant, $20.5 million lottery bonds for the Incentive Fund, $23.7 million additional for Senate Bill 1149 funds for low-income electrical payment assistance and low-income weatherization, $1.6 million, and anticipation of moving the department's office to a new location. In that regard, we unscheduled those funds with the Department of Administrative Service until the actual move is confirmed. The Transportation Economic Subcommittee recommends approval of this bill as amended.
Is there a discussion? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had a conversation with the Subcommittee Chair and then the House Co-Chair regarding this. I'm a little dismayed in terms of the we have held these dollars back. If it was for the purpose in terms of having the department come back with a plan, if I knew that the ability was there to, if they came back with a plan as how they were going to increase affordable housing throughout the state. But since I was involved in Senate Bill 1149 last session and was directly worked to get these dollars going into this thing to build energy-efficient, affordable housing. The intent of those dollars was never to backfill this program. It was to augment, to ensure that there was additional dollars available to expand the ability to develop and build affordable housing throughout the state of Oregon. I'm hopeful. I haven't voted against a budget yet. I'm going to support this today and hopeful that we can work something out going forward so we understand what these reserve dollars are going to be used for. But I do not understand why we would be reducing dollars in a program that is so critical in terms of ensuring that Oregonians have affordable homes.
Is there further questions or discussion? Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm providing a courtesy vote as well. I'm hoping that we can work this out before it reaches the House floor. I know it's going to the Senate first. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Also, I think it's a terrible vote for rural Oregon. 1149 monies can only be used in PacifiCorp and PGE districts. They can't be used where co-ops are. This money is allocated at the beginning of the biennium in order to kickstart these projects, which take a year to 18 months to get off the ground. The 1149 money is going to trickle in month by month and can only be applied in PGE and PacifiCorp districts. I think this is not a good way to go about doing this, and I'll provide a courtesy vote, but I'm hoping we can work this out.
Representative Schrader.
I disagree with some of my other colleagues' comments here. I'm not sure this is a bad issue at all. Frankly, there was no money there before. The department is sitting on some significant reserves that there's some question about their need for. We've investigated that to some significant degree, and when talking with the Treasury Department, although they like that level of reserves, when pressed, they'd like reserves to unprecedented heights. There seems to be no end. So I'm concerned that the mission of the department should be to put, yes, some money into the housing in, that we need to be doing. There's a lot of confusion and misrepresentation out there, I think. A lot of this has nothing to do with the housing trust fund. There's other housing opportunities to be taken out of other budgets that frankly the housing department, in my opinion, should be doing. This, I think, is a creative solution in a budget-limited environment to make sure that there's opportunities for housing. We have money coming in. There's indications already that the $1149 are going to be in excess of this $3.4 million, perhaps even in excess of the budget limitation that's currently in this budget. So I think this is a thoughtful way of getting at the housing needs of the people of the state of Oregon as originally conceived in this budget, and not necessarily an improper way to go at all.
Representative Patridge, I'm not going to open a debate here because that's the place for the floor. The comments, we're trying to move along. The Human Services has a busy agenda yet, and we still have a lengthy agenda, so I recognize you that you want to speak, but I would urge you to debate it when the bill is discussed on the floor. Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I guess I did not serve on the committee, so I don't have all the facts, and yet I share some of the same concerns about that housing trust fund, because I remember last session we were trying to get due, and I have some real concerns. Mine will be a courtesy vote today, but with real reservation.
Senator Brown.
I'm not going to give a courtesy. I'm going to be a no for the same reasons that Representative Patrick stated.
And I'm going to be a no as well.
Senator Joe. Okay. Is there further discussion? Why don't the clerk call the roll?
Senator Schrader.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Patrick.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Westman.
Aye.
Mr. Gee.
Aye.
Ellis.
No.
Dillard.
Aye.
Hartung.
Aye.
Duncan.
Aye.
Bonham.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion passes. The next bill is Senate Bill 5546, and before Senator Miller carries it, I'd like to make a statement. This afternoon, the co-chairs were in receipt of information from a lobby group about the Oregon Youth Authority bill. It raises questions about the suspicion and sincerity of the co-chairs in this process. In my 28 years, I've never had my integrity questioned by a lobbyist, let alone anybody in this process on the credibility of this process. The co-chairs have not created a Christmas tree bill, nor have we sandwiched $1.8 million aside for a project in Deschutes County. I object to the insinuation, I object to the letter, and I object to the process. This has been an open process this entire session, and if anybody has a personal gripe, let them bring it to us. But I'm tired of this crap, Mr. Dole, of hearsay, innuendo, and everything else. If you have a problem with the co-chairs, bring it to the co-chairs. But you don't have to write stuff insinuating that we're making deals behind closed doors. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5546 is the operating budget for the Oregon Youth Authority, the state's juvenile corrections agency. The budget is $269.9 million total funds. This is 3.2% more than the governor's recommended budget, but 2% less than the current service level estimate. The budget restores many of the governor's proposed cuts. It funds a monthly average of 1,113 close custody beds, only about 30 beds less than the most recent population forecast. It restores the Tillamook Youth Accountability Camp for the full biennium and phases in beds at River Bend and LeGrand as needed for growth. The agency is to report to the emergency board if the population forecast changes significantly during the interim. Multnomah County will get $3.15 million in general fund for gang intervention efforts after starting with zero in the governor's rec budget. Community programs such as foster and residential care and parole and probation are funded at about 96% of current service level. The budget also adds psychiatric nurses to help meet youth mental health needs in the regional facilities, resources to support the operations of the juvenile justice information system, and new positions within current funding for medical and dental services and call coverage. The budget reflects savings from ending a rental agreement for 32 beds in Multnomah County and makes other operational and administrative reductions. The subcommittee discussed the Deschutes County Delinquent Youth Demonstration Project at length. The budget continues the project, but budget notes set clear expectation for reports to the emergency board and the 2003 legislature. I think it would be fair to say that the subcommittee was not prepared to extend the pilot project, nor conclude that it's been successful or not successful, but I think in some response to your concerns as were expressed, I think there is the concern that if we couldn't do all we could for a proven existing program, there was a fear that money might be siphoned off for something that is yet to be proven, and but I appreciate your sentiments. Thank you, Mr. Okay. Green.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to passing Senate Bill 5546 as amended out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation? Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 101, Senator Hartung.
Senate Bill 101 is the first of two bills on today's agenda that support technology transfer efforts in Oregon. Technology transfer refers to the process of transforming the ideas developed at colleges and universities into actual products and processes that can be commercially marketed. Senate Bill 101 establishes the Higher Education Technology Transfer Fund. The fund will be used to finance and support technology transfer at the state's public and private universities and community colleges. The funds would be used to support the institution's technology transfer programs and to cover costs such as obtaining patents, publicizing discoveries, and training university researchers about technology transfer. The technology transfer fund will be financed from the declared earnings of the Oregon Growth Account and the Oregon Resource and Technology Development Account. Neither of these accounts have declared any earnings to date, but in the future they are expected to do so. Under current law, these earnings would be used to provide student opportunity grants and to pay interest on lottery bonds that have been issued for K-12 education. Senate Bill 101 would instead transfer these future earnings into the Higher Education Technology Transfer Fund. This will be the primary source of money for the fund, although the fund will also be able to accept donations, grants, and other public or private monies.
The bill also provides $1 of general fund to establish the new fund with a cash balance. Your education subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 101 as amended.
Is there further discussion? Is there further debate? The question now rises for Senate Bill 101A as amended to the full Senate with a do pass recommendations. Is there objections? Not, it's ordered. Senate Bill 102, Senator Hartung.
Senate Bill 102 is another bill to support technology transfer in Oregon. A typical way for technology transfer to occur is when a small startup company is created to commercialize a promising new technology. These companies generally do not have sufficient cash to acquire university-developed technologies. Instead, they will give a university stock in their company in exchange for the right to commercialize the university's technology. This type of arrangement has worked well in many other parts of the country, where university research has helped create a thriving environment for startup companies. In Oregon, this has not been possible, though, because the state constitution prohibits universities from holding stock for these purposes. OUS campuses are able to license their technology, but generally only established companies, usually located out of state, are able to afford license fees. This means that Oregon discoveries are commercialized elsewhere. Senate Bill 102 addresses this problem by providing a mechanism for OUS campuses to commercialize their technologies, as is done elsewhere, in exchange for a startup company stock. The bill creates the Higher Education Technology Transfer Account as a subaccount in the Education Endowment Fund. OUS universities will be able to accept stock from a startup company and deposit that stock into this account. The state constitution allows the Education Endowment Fund to hold stock. Any income or return the stock provides will be distributed back to the university that developed the new technology. This bill will promote technology transfer, that is, in both the Oregon university system and the state economy as a whole. The bill's provisions will be repealed if voters approve SJR 17 at the 2002 primary election. SJR 17 would allow OUS stock to hold directly and eliminate the need for a separate technology transfer account. Your education subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 102 as amended.
Take a breath.
Is there further discussion?
Wow.
Is there objection to moving Senate Bill 102A as amended out to the Senate with a do pass recommendation? Not, it's so ordered. Senate Bill 832. Senate Bill 832 establishes and finances a major expansion of Oregon Health Sciences and University Research Program in Health Sciences and Biotechnology. Under the bill, the state would issue bonds to provide OHSU up to $200 million to finance this expansion. The bill establishes two alternative funding sources for the Oregon Opportunity Program. If voters approve HCR 19 at the 2002 primary election, the state will have authority to issue general obligation bonds. If voters reject House Joint Resolution 19, the state will issue revenue bonds financed with money from the Tobacco Master Settlement. Because revenue bonds carry a higher interest rate, the bill limits a revenue bond issuance to $165 million to contain debt service costs for tobacco bonds. No debt will be paid on the bonds in the 2001-2003 biennium, but after the debt service costs are projected at $31.6 million per biennium for a 20-year period. Although the debt will be deferred until the 2001-2003 biennium is over, the bonds could still be issued during the biennium, which is the intent of the bill. Senate Bill 832 represents a huge investment in OHSU's future. Your Advancing E-Government Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 832 with the B-21 amendments. Is there a discussion? Representative Johnson.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest as I proudly serve on the Executive Committee of the Dornbecker Children's Hospital Board as well as the Oregon Health Sciences University Foundation Board.
Okay. Is there further comments or questions? Is there objection to passing Senate Bill 832 as amended out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation? So ordered. Senate Bill 975, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Cochise. This bill happens to be identical to one that Representative Butler has already worked on in the House. He tells me that both his speech and speaking ability are far superior to mine, so I'd like to yield to him to explain Senate Bill 975.
Thank you, Mr. Cochise, with permission. Senate Bill 975 addresses Oregon income tax effect of the Bush tax cut. A one-time 5% rebate and individual income tax reduction on between $6,000 and $12,000 on individual and joint tax returns, respectively, from the 15% bracket down to the 10% bracket. All individual taxpayers paying federal taxes, individual income tax returns from $6,000 or $12,000 on a joint return for calendar year 2000 will receive a one-time rebate check of up to $300 individual, $600 jointly on or before October 1st, 2001. Income tax system is such that those individuals earning the lowest amounts normally do not file and pay federal income tax returns. However, working individuals and families earning between $20,000 and $40,000, single and joint respectively, will likely receive the full Bush tax cut rebate checks and be subject to an Oregon income tax rate on these amounts, the rate of approximately 9%, up to 9%. Senate Bill 975 is a modest tax break for up to 755,000 Oregonians, that's 200,000 married couples, and 355,000 single-filing individuals. The Senate bill keeps faith with Oregon's working individuals, allowing them to keep the full Bush tax cut rebate. Because of its narrow income range and those working families who benefit from the Senate bill, it compensates one small group of Oregonians who pay Oregon income taxes and who lost a small portion of their kicker for 2001 Oregon kicker refund under Senate Bill 963.
Is there further discussion or questions? Is there objection to passing Senate Bill 975 out with a due pass recommendation?
I'll be a no.
Senator Troll will be a no. Senator Duncan will be a no. Representative Schrader will be a no. Is there any other no votes? Not the motion passes. We're going to skip over the next House bill and move to the House Bill 2550 because it relates approximately the same issue. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Ditto. It's the identical same group of folks. It only affects, when you come from the floor up, it only just affects those that are paying income taxes in the state of Oregon and federal, and a very bottom bracket's there, and it returns to them $16.9 million.
Senator Miller, do you have any comments to make on this bill? It's the same as the previous Senate Bill 975.
Excellent bill, apparently.
The photocopy machine works wonders. Is there any further discussion?
Chairman.
Senator Yee.
It is the same bill. Why do we need to pass both?
Because one goes to the Senate, one goes to the House.
Chair, I'll be a no again.
Okay. Senator Duncan will be voted no. Senator Troll will be voting no. And Representative Schrader voting no. Is there further discussion? If not, the motion passes. House Bill 2014. This is a bill that was previously before this Ways and Means Committee and took back to the Committee for Amendments. It deals with state procurement code to require that certain consulting contracting requirements for a state agency applied to any political subdivision or public body created by intergovernmental agreements with the state funds that are used for construction of project design. It establishes criteria for project funding level that would trigger applicability. And the bill includes a sunset date of January 2, 2008. The bill was referred to Ways and Means from the Senate floor because of concerns with the existing language and a possible fiscal impact. Your Subcommittee on Ways and Means recommends House Bill 2014 as amended. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
I just want to make a comment for the record. I had committed to the folks that were working on this bill to vote yes. I got some information this afternoon that made me realize I could not vote yes, and I just want to apologize to them for breaking my commitment.
Representative Johnson.
I also... I'm sorry, I also will be a no. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll be a no.
All right. If the... Mr. Simpson, why don't you take a roll call vote?
Representative Strader.
Aye.
Butler.
Aye.
Effort.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Westland.
Aye.
Senator Gee.
No.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Houston.
Aye.
Duncan.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 3905 relating to county fairs. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is a companion bill to a bill that's already gone through, House Bill 3530. House Bill 3905 is a bill intended to strengthen county fair boards and revitalize the County Fair Commission. The bill provides reporting requirements for county fair boards on such matter as attendance, use of facilities, liability insurance, compliance with purchasing laws, budgeting, and use of funds. An audit of the county fair boards is also required, which will review animal and environmental issues, compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and county fair policies. The fiscal impact of this bill is expected to be minimal, as county fair boards are currently conducting most of the required activities. This bill would assist the County Fair Commission by bringing together important performance information for each county fair throughout the state for review. The bill increases the accountability of county fair boards to the commission and gives the commission authority to withhold state funding if they do not receive the required information from the county fairs. The subcommittee adopted technical amendments regarding fund transfers from the county fair account for administration and specified the distribution method to be used. The bill is expected to have positive impact for the commission and the county fair boards as fundamental responsibilities, reporting responsibilities are established and as the boards become more accountable to the public. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee unanimously recommends your approval of 3905A3 as amended.
Is there a discussion? Is there objection to the motion? The chair will be recorded voting no. Is there further discussion? Not. Motion carries. House Bill 3997. House Bill 3997 provides us with a new statutory appropriation limitation. It repeals existing statutory limitation and replaces it with one that eliminates the problems associated with identifying and interpreting fund shifts in the formula. It excludes federal funds and donations from the limitation, ties the appropriations of a biennium to a personal income of that of the biennium, and gives objective third-party definition of general governmental purposes. Committee previously approved the introduction of House Bill 3997. Your subcommittee has made some technical adjustments to the bill to clarify that all federal funds donations are excluded from the limitation. We also provided language defining appropriations for purposes of this limitation and reviewed our projected 2001-2003 biennium appropriation, past appropriation levels, and determined that an appropriation limitation of 8% of projected personal income for that same biennium is appropriate. Projected 1001-2003 appropriations subject to the limitation are 7.63% of projected personal income. Your subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 3997 as amended. Is there a discussion? Senator Trell.
Mr. Chair, is this the limitation that Mr. Stinson worked out?
This is the limitation that Mr. Stinson recommended to the subcommittee on capital construction.
Mr. Chair, he was gracious enough to explain it to me the other day, and I think it's much better than the one we have.
Is there further discussion or question? Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I was prepared to vote no because I don't like spending limitations. I think I trust the judgment of the legislative body. Based on what I just heard, and I had a chance to talk to Mike a bit before, I'm going to vote yes today, but I reserve the right, after I really spent some time with it, to be able to vote no on the floor if I feel so.
Senator Duncan, this is the bill I've been looking for all session. This is a true Duncan-esque bill.
Well, if it's my kind of bill, I may go for it.
All Are there further questions or discussion?
Just one.
Senator Brown.
Well, I would, of course, defer to the co-chair from...
No, he defers to you.
Okay. Well, I, as you were aware, I was absent when the vote happened in subcommittee, and I guess I would just ask the co-chairs what the thinking was behind leaving Section 5 and on page 2 of the Dash 3 amendments.
In your absence, I asked the question of staff, and it was asked if we took that section out, what would be the net effect, and it was zero. And asked the other question, what if happens if we leave the net effect in that portion, and the staff recommendation was zero. Said that it takes a simple majority of the legislature to exceed the limitation or repeal the 8% limitation. Even though it states 3/5, it means that a simple majority of the legislature. For that reason, it was explained to me that the intent is that if someone, and I'm not a lackey for Mr. McIntyre or Mr. Sizemore or anyone else, and I want to make it perfectly clear, but if someone outside this building chooses to file an initiative, let them use this statutory as what we would like to see in language in a constitutional amendment, because it gives the legislature some ability to deal with emergency situations under government's control.
Mr. Chair, your explanation that either way it goes, it doesn't make any... I really like that. That really is my kind of bill.
Chair.
Representative Schrader.
All due deference to the co-chair, I'm not sure it doesn't do a little something anyway. And I think the reason I'm in favor of this bill is it does take a fairly unworkable model and make it more rational, more sane. LFO and DAS, frankly, go to great lengths sometimes to figure out what the ancient Byzantine expenditure limit we currently operate on and would be still be operating on if this bill does not pass, does or does not do to our expenses and our opportunities to fund good programs in the state. And so I appreciate the work that Mr. Stinson has done and staff and the co-chairs in bringing this forward. It's probably not perfect, but I don't think the existing one we have is perfect by any stretch of imagination. And as often pointed out, at least this is statutory, and should it not work out, we have the opportunity to change it as we are changing it right now. So I hope that everyone keeps that in mind as we go forward.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Representative Westler?
Oh, I'd just like to announce that Natural Resources got all of their work done today, and that's what the was all about. Quite a long agenda. No, I just wanted to state the co-chair's policy when Senator Hannon deferred to Senator Brown. We have a very strict informal policy that we always defer to you before age. So, you go first and I go second.
Oh. Says the hard dog doesn't have a chance, does he?
All right. To regain control of this committee, the motion is to move House Bill 3997 as amended out to the House with a do pass recommendation. Is there objections? If not, it's so ordered. The Human Services Committee will reconvene shortly. At what time, Representative? Right now?
Oh, the Natural Resources
Committee? No, the Human Services.
No.
They're done.
Oh, you're finished?
Yeah, sir.
Okay.
All done.
Then there's no committee meetings for tomorrow.
I mean, you were giving me heartburn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're done.
Representative Morgan. Thank you for your good work.
Right in there.
No problem.
Announcement.
We voted for you every time.
I'd like to recognize former Representative Tom Whalen's in
Tommy.
He's learned a new skill. He's been practicing signing. He's been sending me little messages from the whole committee up here. So
you're number one. You're number one.
Even firefighters can learn.
We are adjourned until Monday. Have a nice weekend.